Hello everyone. My name is Vasily Sartakov. I'm Advanced Research Fellow at Imperial College London. I would like to tell you about our project, Introvisor. In a nutshell, Introvisor is a new virtualization platform and cloud stack based on Cherry capabilities. What you will get known from this presentation is that Introvisor at the same time provides strong isolation like virtual machines, a very small shared trusted computing base, and offers fast IPC primitives, faster than you can get in containers. Technically, in one sentence, in Introvisor, isolated programs and library operating system share a single address space and use Cherry capabilities for isolation and data sharing. And by the way, we are hiring. Let's get started. Cloud environments face a fundamental tension between isolation and sharing. On the one hand, services must be isolated to prevent attacks on each other and the cloud provider. On the other hand, services must cross the isolation border for data exchange and sharing. For example, you may collocate a data storage service, a database with market data feed, an analytics service, let's say powered by Python. The analytics service should efficiently access the data provided by the storage service. If the storage service sells only a subset of data it has, the cloud environment should guarantee that the analytics service will never get access to extra data. From the point of view of the cloud provider, the collocated services can be powered by virtual machines. Hardware virtualization provides strong isolation and has small TCB. Small TCB reduces attack possibilities for the adversary. The TCB here is a hypervisor, which can be very small, let's say micro hypervisor Nova. At the same time, the fundamental idea of virtualization is that there is no red pill. You need to use virtual network devices and TCP IP stack for communication. It's very excessive. The data is in memory already. All that you need is to give reliable access to it. Instead, we copy data via the stack. And even if you expose the hypervisor to the application, there are heavyweight transitions. In the case of containers, we have lightweight isolation, and we can reuse existing kernel IPC primitives for communication. They are relatively fast, easy to use, but there is another problem, large shared trusted computing base. The kernel is the lowest common denominator of all containers and the host system. This means that your REST API application written in type-safe language has a USB driver in the trusted computing base because sysadmins need to log into the server, or some other deprecated drivers, or buggy file system that you don't even use. So, as you can see, in both cases, it's challenging to provide efficient data sharing with small trusted computing base. One of the root causes of this problem is the memory management unit, which we use as the base technology for isolation and sharing. Indeed, MMU is a privileged entity. And if you want to manipulate pages and access memory in different address spaces, you should interact with the privileged intermediary. The kernel is always involved in IPC, which leads to large shared trusted computing base and expensive transition calls. Yes, MMU allows you to share data between isolated entities, but only at the page granularity. This means that you should think twice before mapping of pages. What if you accidentally expose data that shouldn't be exposed? Perhaps we need something different for isolation and sharing, and this project will look towards the hardware memory capabilities, the Cherry architecture. To better understand what hardware capabilities are, let's consider a simple example. This is the simple instruction, load a byte from memory, address of which is stored in A1, with offset 0, and put results into register A2. The CPU takes this address, 1000, adds offset 0, and reads the D, which is an array PTR in our high-level language such as C. The offset value here can be different, and if it's 8, the CPU reads again 1000 from the register, adds offset, and reads from this memory region, which is actually located outside of the border of our variable PTR, which has only 8 elements, and this one is the last one. But it's not a problem, it's an expected undefined behavior. You can read the random data or get a crash. But what if your register A1 has not only the base address, 1000 in hex, but the maximum address, 1007? And what if your CPU, prior reading the data, checks the address you are accessing with the maximum value you can access? Obviously, in this case, 1008 is more than maximum address 1007, and there will be no memory corruption, just a crash. This is in general how hardware memory capabilities work. In reality, the Cherry architecture is much more complex. It's a hybrid capability architecture that blends architectural capabilities with conventional MMU-based architectures. Capabilities in Cherry are fat pointers with built-in bounds and attributes. They are used instead of ordinary pointers. Bounds restrict memory that can be accessed via the capability, while attributes, for example permissions, impose restrictions on operations with the capability. You can use it as a data or code capability, or you can disallow to use it to load other capabilities. The Cherry architecture guarantees that you can't construct a capability from an arbitrary sequence of bytes. You can only derive it from another valid capability. For that, you use capability-aware instructions, but not the shared intermediary like the kernel. New capability can be same or small, both in terms of memory it covers and attributes. There is a huge research project sponsored by DARPA, UKRI, and other institutions. It's led by the Cambridge University. There are ISA extensions for MIPS, RISC-V, and ARM. I think many of you have heard that ARM has begun shipping of Cherry-enabled Marella boards a few weeks ago. You can play with Cherry in QEMU, FPGA models, or try to get access to Cherry and Marella board. What is very important is that Cherry has a hybrid architecture. It allows you to use ordinary instructions and selectively use Cherry-aware instructions, very important for compatibility. And now you can ask me a question. Vasily, it sounds very interesting, but what is the relationship to isolation? Isolation comes quite natural from hardware capabilities. If you have a set of capabilities and they have the same bounds, actually you have a compartment because data and code covered by those capabilities is constrained. You can't access memory outside the bounds, so it's intra-process compartment. If you have several sets of capabilities and they are not intersecting, you have multiple compartments. In reality, the situation is even more practical. Cherry supports native instructions, and all native instructions internally are relative to two capabilities. They are called default capabilities, one for code and one for data. So all native code is constrained, and there is a reliable mechanism for changing bounds of default capabilities. Constrained code can't do this without special capabilities and can't escape the compartment. At the same time, you are allowed to use capability-aware instructions with capabilities that may access memory outside of the compartment. In other words, you can use capabilities as the basis for isolation and for IPC primitives, which we use in our project. The project we are developing is built on top of Cherry capabilities. However, it supports capability-unaware software. You can take your native services and run them in a constrained way. You can also use IPC primitives based on capabilities to enable communication between them. There are two key components in our project. Cherry VM, it's a VM-like abstraction for your programs, one or many, and Intravisor, something that we call as Type 3 hypervisor, a monitor inside process address space. It manages VMs and their interactions with the rest of the world. In essence, what we are doing, Intravisor is a user-level process. We load into its memory a user program with runtime and constrain execution by Cherry capabilities. The runtime as well as the program can't escape the Cherry VM and can interact with external world only via capabilities in a controlled way. Practically, we ship and deploy programs in the form of disk images. A tiny loader starts inside the Cherry VM, mounts disk image and loads binaries from it. One requirement is all binaries should be PI. Currently, we support MuscleDBC, and you can run programs compiled in LPI and Docker for RISC-V architecture. We even use the sci-fi board to generate Docker container images. One of the core ideas of the project is that the platform should provide compatible, rich OS functionality, but with small shared trusted computing base. In essence, we achieve that by using deprivileged library operating system, LKL in our prototype. We deploy it inside each Cherry VM. The library OS can be bespoke for special applications and provide only necessary interfaces, components, mechanisms. It's very flexible. The mechanism that can't be provided by the library OS, such as I/O access, creation of execution context, provided by Intravisor. We isolate the program from the library operating system, and we isolate the library operating system together with programs from the hypervisor and the other Cherry VMs. The isolation layer, Cherry compartment defined by default capabilities. We use syscall and hostcall interfaces for transition between isolated layers. Finally, the IPC interfaces. As we discussed, they should be efficient. And the interfaces are efficient when they are not shared, exclusive, and what is more important, they don't include a privileged intermediary, at least at the critical path. The interfaces should have well-known API, ultimately want to support legacy applications. Such interfaces should be available for capability unaware code. Our code is native, but we want to benefit from the use of capabilities. How to do this? Cherry VMs provide two basic IPC mechanisms. Using cap file, you can access memory located in another Cherry VM. When you read from write to the system object via ordinary syscalls, you actually read on write remote memory provided by a capability without the involvement of the shared intermediary. Ncap call allow you to call a function located inside another Cherry VM. This IPC mechanism involves the hypervisor. And finally, this design allowed us to combine native and hybrid code. Programs are native, capability unaware, while system objects are implemented using capability aware instructions. The separation between the APIs, the syscall interface. Cap files and cap calls are basic primitives. In essence, the former is the asynchronous data access, while the latter is a notification mechanism. In fact, we use cap calls to spawn a thread or deliver a timer notification, absolutely the same mechanism. Combine them, we can create a complex interface, for example, an interface where you can send a signal on completion or wait for a signal before the transmission. We develop a streaming interface. One side registers some receive buffer and use poll to get a notification, while the other side sends data and doesn't know the location or the destination. The buffer will be selected from the registered buffer on delivery. Let's have a look on performance of our IPC mechanisms. Performance here is data transfer, speed measured in megabytes per second. Everything is done on top of an FPGA board, Cherry-enabled RISC-V 64 CPU inside one core. At the baseline, we will use IPC mechanisms provided by Cherry BSD. X is size, Y is performance. This is the memcopy and cap file. Cap file, in essence, is capability-based memory copy plus several syscalls. Performance should be close or the same, maybe somewhere in the infinity. Here we see that cap file is slower than memcopy for 6%, which is very fast, in fact. When you don't need a synchronization, you can access the memory inside another CVM with a close-to-memcopy speed. This is cap stream, which is in essence cap file plus synchronization, and we pay a lot for synchronization, maybe because we use a single-core CPU. Especially when we compare cap file versus pipes. Pipes are better for memory chunks less than 1 and 2 megabytes. This is a kind of expected desynchronization is very costly, and pipes benefit from the privileged execution, while cap stream needs to enter and leave the kernel to occur logs. Maybe user-level threading can shift this point, and we will test this in the future. The rest, Unix domain sockets, TCP, we also tested everything with two processes, not a single one, all of them below 3 megabytes per second in our hardware, which is very slow, so we don't even consider them. In relative values, cap files is more than 2 times faster than pipes. The fastest legacy interface. Cap files approximately 50% faster than pipes for big memory chunks, which we consider as the primary application. Let's discuss the security aspects of our system. In our threat model, the goal of the attacker is to get access to data outside of the borders of the Cherry VM, auto-escalate privileges. The attacker is free to do whatever they want. They can run any code, even capability aware. Exploit buffer overflows, everything, probably except side channels. They can get access to entire CVM, comprising the library walls. They can try to abuse cap files, cap calls, host calls, the kernel. In other words, everything. But it doesn't work. The kernel simply ignores all syscalls from compartments, so you can't abuse the kernel. Cap files are data capabilities, and they can't be used to jump out of the CVM. Yes, you can put payload into CF file and try to jump, but you can't do this. You need proper capabilities for that, and there is no way to get them. Cherry VMs can't store and export capabilities. This is fundamental, which means that after the revocation, the attacker can't access the Sherry data. The host call interface has called capabilities, but they are sealed and can't be changed. Altogether, the attacker can't escape the CVM or gain unauthorized access to data. The current state of the project is as follows. The source code is available. The research paper is under submission, but I hope the repository includes a link to a technical report. Hypervisor supports two runtimes. The bare metal environment allows you to run any code you want, native, pure cap. It's a playground with the host call interface. Just run your code without dependencies, nothing else. Also, we have a full-fledged Linux compatible environment based on Muscle and LKL. We support RISC-V Cherry FPGA, so you can get the real taste of Cherry. Plus, we use Hi-Fi RISC-V platform for experiments and multi-code deployment and testing. We also generate here Docker images. We will support our Morello board as soon as we get hardware, maybe in a few months. As a host system, we support FreeBSD, Linux. Dependencies are quite small. In principle, here could be any operating system, for example, microkernel. Someone just needs to port it. How we're going to develop this project? We're expecting to add support for libvirt and integrate our system with existing cloud orchestration systems, maybe OpenStack, it's an open question. We're open for cooperation. We're interested in different library operating systems, maybe host operating systems. Also, we're interested in proper cloud workload, use cases, evaluation of our mechanisms. RISC-V cloud infrastructure isn't very versatile so far. And finally, we're hiring. If you want to participate in this project, we're looking for engineers, researchers, PhDs, and postdocs. The project will be developing in various aspects, and we have multiple interesting sub-projects at any level of the stack, starting from CPU and IS extension up to cloud workload and services. Don't hesitate to send me a message, and I'm happy to answer your questions now. Then they switched to RISC-V, and RISC-V is the primary development platform they have. And then the UK government came and invested some money into production of ARM-based platform. So we, in our experiments, we're using Cherry enabled, well, Cherry extension for RISC-V.
Yes, and you expect to port it to our Morello once that becomes available.
Exactly. We are part of the project, so we're expecting to get access to this board someday. But in fact, you can play with ARM version of Cherry. Like now, there are emulators, there is system support. So, well, actually, anyone can take it and play an emulator. So hardware is necessary to get some measurements. Like real measurements, but if you want to have only I don't know, emulation of isolation, build a proof of concept, well, you can work on it. We also will do this soon.
Okay, and would you consider porting it to a new instruction set that supports the needed extensions for capabilities? Is that a big effort or a relatively small effort? Is there a lot of architecture-specific code in what you are doing?
I'm not sure that I can answer this question because I'm not a hardware guy.
Yes.
There are some, probably you can find some discussions in the relative, in the related Cherry Slack channel. There was a discussion about plain RISC-V versus Cherry enabled. Mm-hmm. I can't give them the real numbers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, maybe talking about numbers, I was wondering this. You mentioned you have a library operating system in there, and you said something, I think briefly, that you have either a bare metal one, I assume something you developed from scratch, or you use LKL. And so the bare metal thingy, how big are we talking? How many lines of code is it, more or less?
So speaking about bare metal, it literally means whatever you wrote, you run, because the hypervisor exports or provides you an interface, a host call interface, And the bare metal, it's just some assembly and C code that invokes those calls, host calls, in the way you want. So currently, the bare metal example is Hello World. Well, it's just probably tens of code, tens of source line of code for C and for awesome. So, well, you need actually nothing to run your Hello World application or something like that. And by Hello World application, I mean when you print something into console, well, you need nothing except one or two host calls. But of course, if you want to run something very complex, like it would be Python or Redis from the previous presentation, yes, you will need proper library operating system. And we have support for this library operating system. We use Elkaid. And it gives you full Linux compatibility. So you it has, well, some source line of code, several, a few.
Okay, thanks, Vasily. On the meantime, okay. Also, Dimitri has a question. You can read it, I think, on the right. Huh? Something about comparing it with Intel MPK and byte versus page granularity.
Thank you, Dimitri. Very good question. Cherry capabilities are much more capable. Sorry for the silly joke. If you have an MPK, you have limited numbers of protection keys. 16, one of them is based for your, one is zero. So actually you have may have 15 isolated domains. MPK itself is not super secure because the instructions that change access rights of protection keys is available to a user. While in the case of Cherry, if you have a capability, there is no way to change to increase privilege of this capability. And this is much, much more secure approach than MPK. So when we use it's first and secondly, if you have, for example, two protection domains in case of MPK and you use several communication interfaces, actually each of those communication interfaces will use a separate MPK protection key. And well, you have roughly 15 of them. So the problems is with MPK, page granularity, while in case of Cherry, you have byte granularity. The number of protection domains, we literally have no limits. You can run as many VMs you want and run as many communication interfaces you want. I hope it's the answer for the question. So the security, actually, this is the biggest advantage compared to MPK. So flexibility, there is no limit in number of protection domains, and security is much more secure. Could you run a unikernel like Unicraft? Yes, of course. Instead of bare metal interface, you can run any other, well, in theory,